Justin with Between the Studs, and I have a lot of new faces with me today, and more or less some famous people in the Lego world. Would you guys say you're famous people in the Lego world?
I'm infamous, they're famous.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense. Today we have, from all the way to my left, your right, Dana, and we have Chris and Mark. And we're talking about classic space. Eventually, but at first, we're going to talk about how you guys know Chris and your familiarity with our store. Can we start with you, Dana?
Yeah. So I want to say it was Brick Fair, Alabama, 2017-ish time frame. I think it was the first time I met Chris and became familiar with the Lambert Company. I was sorting Lego for another resource and getting paid, and what I got to do was keep 10% of what I was sorting. And so I was getting minifigures, Ninjago, this, that, the other, that I really didn't care about. And so I wound up taking them with me to Brick Fair, thinking I want to trade them, sell them for whatever. I showed a tub of what I had to Chris, and he's like, threw me out a dollar number, and I went, trade value. So I went over and started grabbing collectible minifigures off the wall that I was needing to get. After that, it just kind of rolls downhill.
So the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say, yes.
I think I started was coming in when y'all were in the old location, I believe. Started coming down here and then would run into Chris at conventions, just got struck up a friendship, you know, being recognized when you walk into the store kind of thing. And my name's Chris too, so that makes it easy. And, you know, having other common interests and everything too. So it's been a long time knowing the store, knowing Chris. So
I got dragged into the store by those guys.
Kicking and screaming, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, they twisted my arm.
I bet. I've heard one or two of you have actually designed for Lego. Can you explain what we're talking about? We actually have an example, not the set you designed, but an example of back in the day, before Kuso, before Lego Ideas, Lego had Lego Factory. Can you explain more about what it was, how you got into the program, and how you eventually got a set? Was it one set or two?
Two sets.
Two sets actually turned into internationally distributed Lego sets, okay? This is a big deal. Can you
Wait, you said distributed, not bought. Just, there's a big difference.
We don't know sales numbers. We don't know sales.
We are kind of old school and the adult fan of Lego world. We were some of the first ones to be in adult fan groups like Alt Toys Lego and then Lugnet. And Mark and I built space and we made a friendship that way and started making sets that kind of complemented each other, his style over his. They were kind of the bad guys, I was kind of the good guys, and vice versa. And so we struck a friendship, and then we were starting to go to conventions.
We were both involved with the Lego Ambassadors program well.
That's right.
So before the Lego Factory thing happened, Chris and I got to know people at Lego through Lego Ambassadors and developed relationship with them. I'm trying to remember what year it was. Before Lego Factory, Lego did a set with a fan. It was the original Blacksmith Shop.
That's right.
Okay, yes.
And that Dan Siskind,
yeah. And they did that with him, and then I think that was reasonably well received. And when they were developing the Lego Factory software, they decided to have fan designed sets. We had our own little themes online where he had the good guy and I had the bad guys with, you know, big skulls on the ships and that kind of thing. They thought that was like a fun complimentary themes that we designed it just for fun with each other, just because, you know, we grew up with this kind of stuff with Space Police versus Blacktron and stuff like that. Lego thought those would be fun sets to promote through Lego Factory.
They approached you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So because they knew us through Lego Ambassadors, they talked to us through the Lego Ambassador program and invited us to participate in their factory program that they were working on.
Well, at the time, there was a guy named Steve Witt. He was kind of a community guy for Lego at the time, and we got to know him through going to conventions and everything. Lego came to BrickFest like 04 and 05. The officials came to see our stuff. They talked to us, got to know us, and through Steve Witt, he's like, these guys are trustworthy fans. They're not going to try to put a bad spin on the name. They're going to be, you know, brand evangelists. Yeah. So they're like, this approach these guys about doing the set. So yeah, they approached us, and that's the way it was. They were like, oh, let's find some people who were positive about the brand, and they brought us along to do that. So they gave us the Lego Digital Designer program, a list of parts that were available, possibly, and told us to to build some sets for them to sell.
That is amazing. Now, my question is, did they give you a lot of parameters? Did they say it has to be this under this piece count? You have to do a space one since we've seen your space stuff and we like it, and it has to be in this. How constricted were you guys? And was it at the same time, or did you do your own and then you do your own, or did you guys work together?
The way they approached us is, says, look, we want you to do space, that's your thing. And you understand that the adult fan community was very small at the time. Mm-hmm. This is 2007 or something mm-hmm. like that, right? 2008. So the pool that they chose from was small, but it was an honor to do so. And they said, look, here's what we've got. Here's the pieces you can use, but you know, don't get too excited about a part because production may change and that part may disappear. So they gave us a pool of parts, a special version of the program Lego Digital Designer that mm-hmm. was being done at the time. We physically built, well, then they said, here you can order parts, right? So we got a K8 worth of the parts that we thought we would use that they had available. And then we built some concept models.
We physically built mm-hmm. things, yeah. concepts, before we touched the software.
Mm-hmm.
We built things in right. hand and took pictures and sent back to Lego and had some discussion about those.
Okay.
And they got the software to us later, and then we started to assemble the things wow. in the software.
Okay. And then when they got the models and got the thing, then parts became unavailable or available. And in my set, it was supposed to be a group of spaceships, and then a major part or two got canceled, so I had to recreate it and make a base, which I'm like, okay, I just need some more parts. So they sent me another box of parts. So I built a base, and we had to then port it into the digital program and then send it to Billund, and then a couple more conversations back and forth, and then boom, came the set. And he designed the sticker sheets, and it was really cool.
And you got to design your own set as well?
Mm-hmm. Chris designed the Star Justice set, and I designed the Space Skulls. The figures that were in our set did not have printed torsos, so Lego allowed us to design stickers to put on. And I'm a graphic designer, so I got on Adobe Illustrator, and Chris and I sat down and sketched out what we wanted our torsos to look like, and then I rendered them in Illustrator and sent them over to Lego.
That is awesome.
And one of their Lego designers did some refining to make it work with the, you know, their sticker printing and all that stuff. That was really fun to be able to do that as well.
Did they send you a bunch of copies of your sets?
They sent us each a few copies of them. So yeah, we still have a few, and Chris has a couple of his as well.
Did they restrict you on size or price point? Did you have to deal with any of the constraints that real Lego designers have to deal with? I know you talked about parts.
Yeah, they said come in around, you know, 800-900 pieces to 1,000, something like that. But they had their price point set, so it was going to be what it was. We suggested they price point it different and make, since both sets were coming out at the same time, we were like, make a smaller set and a bigger set. But they split that in half and made two medium-sized to larger sets, and they were priced really high.
Our suggestion was, make a smaller set and larger set and put each of the factions in both sets.
Okay.
So that if you bought a smaller set, you'd have a good guy and a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for the larger set. And I, for whatever reason, Lego decided to just have each in a separate set that both were the large set. So
that's very common now, but refresh my memory. Was it common at the time to have a battle? You always had your good guy and your bad guy in one set nowadays. Was that common back then or not?
It depended. It depended. I mean, that was more of a Space Police thing that you would get a Blacktron with a Space Police, but anything else, like Entron was only Entron, and Explorians or Freetron was only those.
I think so at the time with Mars Mission, they did mix faction. You'd get humans and aliens in one set in some of those, but it was still kind of an early time of Lego doing that type of thing in sets, I think.
Yeah. So. And when the set came out, it was like, there were like 800, 700 pieces when we got it done, but they still priced it at 100, which for, this is, you know, 13, 14, 15 years ago, being over the 10-cent per piece price point,
we were
like, no, we don't mess. It's too expensive and all that kind of stuff. So when they were like discounted in stores, then they started flying off the shelves because they were at a better price point. It's cheap Lego. Hey, that's okay. But I mean, it sold okay. But there was only one more set then after us in that factory line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they retooled it as Cusso and Ideas.
Oh, so you were the second to the last.
Second to the last. Joe Mino did the last one. It was a car garage. It was a neat set. So
did you guys get to keep the pieces they sent to you? Did you have to send them back?
Yeah, we did.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I know the Lego Ideas people now correct me if I'm wrong, do they get a small percentage of sales?
I think they get like a 10% cut or something like
that. Did that exist during those days? Okay, nope. That was not. Okay.
It was free.
So you were paid in Lego and the glory of having your name on a set. That's still really cool.
It is cool.
That is still really cool. Well, congrats. Again, I know it's been years now, but I think that's an amazing achievement. The originals, guys. This is it. The original gangsters.
That means we're old.
No, it means you're cool. Old. It means you're cool. Now we've set the stage. We're going to talk about classic space a little bit. I always like to start with the history. Classic space started in 1978. Mm-hmm. And what we consider classic space kind of phased out. I guess, like, Futron was still considered classic space.
It depends on how old you are as to what you consider classic.
Depends on if you are Reformed or Orthodox classic space.
Do you subscribe to the New Testament or only to the Old Testament?
Jewish.
We do have this conversation, and again, it's amazing how Lego fans can be very opinionated about their particular area of Lego. Mm. As someone who has gone back and collected a majority of classic space, while we do consider the 78 to 88 to be true classic, if you go like Brick Set or Brick Link, that's considered classic. But now, you know, Futron, Amtron, Blacktron 1, Blacktron 2, Space Police, Ice Planet, I would say all the way up to Futron and Spireus would be like the cusp of now what is considered classic, because we're still talking 20 plus years old.
Yeah.
That's still considered in the classic range. Mm-hmm. Anything you start getting through there is kind of a little muddy. Give us another 10 years and Space Police 3 could be considered. But when anybody talks about classic space, they truly do mean from 1978 to 1988.
So in your opinion, what defines, or any of your opinions, what defines classic space? One of the things I read was the visorless helmets, the old style helmets. Once you change over to the new ones, it's no longer classic space. I don't care what it is. I don't care who you are. That is what classic space. Do you guys agree with that? Are there other parameters that you would put on it?
Well, I look at it as like the comic era. You have the Golden Age, then you have the Silver Age, and then the stuff that
the Bronze,
like. Yeah,
the Trash Age.
So, just pure classic space, in my view, is the guys with the without the visors. But Futron is their direct descendants. It's like Next Generation or whatever. And I still like them with that same kind of love, but it is a different age when they get the visors on. That's so, I love then the Futron through Blacktron to Spireus, that era, just almost as much. It's just, I call that the more of the Silver Age of classic space, I guess.
I think that's where I kind of come into that. Is if you've got air tanks and a visored helmet, that's like the motorcycle helmet, that is the second stage. And that's where I think
it's
come
Picard
into that.
Versus the Kirk of the warrior.
I'm old school like Chris, so for me, these are classic space. This is not classic, but still space.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like Chris was saying, it's when the visors hit the helmets, that was like another generation of space sets. From us old guys, that's kind of how we look at it. That's classic. This is Futuron era. I think the phrase we used on Lugnet was compartmentalized dorks. That was kind of how we talked
I
about
feel
things
attacked.
Because
I really feel attacked.
I do too.
Because it's like when you talk to Lego fans about what is classic this and classic that, whether it's space or castle or other themes, the fans will make smaller and smaller compartments of what this is or what that is. And
yes.
And it's when we love to debate it, but it's all done with love and kind of affection for the sets. And like we love all of it, but we'll sit and debate all day long about what is classic this and space that and you know, all the themes and stuff, just because we love to talk about it.
We don't have anything else to do.
Space was a huge deal because it was the first like theme, really,
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had town and then space. Space was the first one.
Town, space, and castle were the big three original themes.
And
Lego land.
And I read that space really upped their game on specific pieces. Building techniques really took a jump in advancement.
Mm-hmm.
You had plate-based construction. It's so common now, but at the time, that was kind of revolutionary. And it made gray a common color, which was super rare until that point. Imagine that, you young people. Gray was
old
a rare
gray.
Color.
Old gray.
Yeah, old gray.
Yeah, this era of classic space in 78 Gray was rare because the original philosophy at LEGO was that they didn't want to make colors that would be possible to build like military things out of.
I heard that,
was
yeah.
that was kind of their
hence the yellow castle.
Yeah, that's right. The, yeah. And of course when this generation of space came out, it came with a bunch of new pieces like the wing plates that make these windshield plates.
Oh, the struts,
the rocket engine, those were all a new kind of, everything was bricks and plates before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these little things, the fin that makes this, these little thrusters, a lot of this stuff was all newer.
Now, I think I know the answer for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Classic space is probably your favorite theme, or just space in general is probably your favorite thing. How about you?
Truthfully, that's how I got to know these guys.
Okay.
Because of, I mean, we jokingly say space. Our LEGO movie came out. Benny's spaceship. I walked into the LEGO store. LEGO store employee said, hey, do you know there's a LEGO user group? No. Go find that out. Walk into it the first time. These two guys are there, and they are setting up a small faction of a moon base with airlocks and landing pads and monorail. And I was like, these are my people.
I've come home.
I didn't realize I was missing.
Uh-huh.
But now I found where my home is.
Poor guy.
And because I'd had, you know, where Chris never had a Dark Age, and I don't think Mark either had one either. I always kept my original 8 classic space sets. There were some other LEGO sets that I had that may have gotten lost along the way or this or that, but I always had my classic space sets that I had. One of them was Futron. And I held on to those. And every so often, you know, I'd take them out, put them together, make sure everything was there. So when this all was coming about and I was introduced to Bricklink and that there's this whole community out there, I just dove back in. Star Wars probably didn't hurt with there being Star Wars sets. So for the most part, it's always been space-centric. I would say that probably when the last 2 years, my buildings that I build, whether it be a building or whatever mock I'm doing, I've been pushing the envelope into other areas, which I'm a LUG ambassador for Peach LUG here in Georgia. And I think I've even coerced these guys into pushing outside their space boundaries and building some other stuff. It's always got a space thing to it. I mean, it's a Christmas build, and he still makes it a space thing. Obviously, we needed a spaceship. I will build other things, but yeah, it always comes back to space.
Would you say the LEGO movie and reintroducing that spaceship,
yeah,
was what got you back into it?
Yeah, I would definitely say that got me back into it. The other thing that kind of dovetailed with that is when I met these guys, there was another guy who came in and said, hey, I'm doing a business. I need to have brick sorted. I can't pay you, but I can pay you in brick. You can keep 10% of what you sort. And during like the first 2 or 3 batches that I was sorting, I found full sets that I was like, oh, this piece is from the roving grappler. I wonder if the rest of the pieces are in here. And here's the minifigure. So I found like 3 or 4 smaller sets. And I was like, I don't have the instructions, but I have the set now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've restored it. I've reparted it back together. So I made a bucket list and said, I'm going to get all the classic space sets. I'm going to get all 74 classic space sets. And I spent about the next 2.5 years going through sorting, trading parts. I wound up getting down to where I was like the last 5 or 10%. I just said, screw it, I'm going to go ahead and bricklink it. I traded with a guy in Denmark to get a whole bunch of stuff, to get a brick, like the 918 pieces, because that's not usually easy to find here in the States. So I got some of the stuff from him and said, you know, last $300 and was done. So I had all 74 space sets. And while I was doing that, I then started getting the M-tron sets. And then it was, oh, I think I've got enough parts here to build the Deep Freeze Defender, which now I have 2 of.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came in and it snowballed. And as I was finishing one faction or one set, I was like, oh, well, I've got 3 of the Blacktron sets. I guess I should go ahead and part out the rest of them. So I think now I'm down to where I'm missing 1 Spireus set, and otherwise I have everything from 1978 to 1995.
There's some dude who's a classic space fan like this that there's 75 or there's 73 classic space sets, but the combo set didn't count, and they will be arguing.
Oh yeah, and the funny thing was, because I by the time I finished all my classic space sets, and I had a photo swoop in the basement. I put all the sets out, arranged them so I could fit them all in one picture. And I literally, not 5 minutes after I posted that picture, someone's like, you don't have the super combined set where you take the TriStar Voyager and the other one. I'm not retaking the picture.
Yeah, yeah. How long did he rake through that picture to find?
Oh, that's what he was looking for. I'm going to see if he's for real.
Does he have this? And then the question is, you know, our base, because, I mean, they sold base plates.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered a set? No. But, you know, some people might consider it. Or they sold...
a number on it.
Or they sold minifigure packs. And a number of four minifigures. So is that considered a set? I don't consider those sets, even though some people do. But so as far as a physical box, 74. Mm-hmm.
74.
A play set. A
74 play is set. Wrong.
Okay. I probably have more than enough figures to place the rest of
16
it.
Of those, I know.
So you guys never had a dark age. In AFOL terms, that's an age where you grow up, have a smart mustache, and get a job, and don't do Lego for a while, and then you get back into it. Dana was mentioning you guys didn't really go through a dark age, really?
Well, in college, there was the, you know, every other weekend I'd go home, I'd play with Lego, it was my stress relief. So through my college, and then the young adult where you have a job and no mortgage, you can spend some more money on Lego. So it was always a thing that mm-hmm. I did. Then after I got married and my mom passed away, so the Lego hobby then became a little even more a way to get through some of that, and marriage is good, plus for family member, but bad. But anyway, but that was the, you know, really jump back in it. So you could call the college age a little bit dimmer, but I was always getting the catalog. Yeah. I ordered Shop at Home from the back of the catalog to get bricks in college, and it came to my college box at Georgia Tech, and I'm pulling them jokers out, and some guy goes, "Dude, are those Lego?" I'm like, "Yep." He goes, "Sweet." And, you know, that was in, you know, the early 90s, so that was, you know, how we got our Lego. So, yeah, I mean, I stayed with it and stayed up with the hobby through then. And then Lugnet came along in 1999. The Star Wars sets came out. All of a sudden, they're being talked about on this user group site. And I joined that site. And then the adulthood fan side of Lego really became a real thing for me.
I usually call it a dim age. I went to college and didn't take my Lego with me to college, but I had a younger brother at home, and so every time I would go home, I would play Lego with him, like when I was home from school and stuff. I would still look at the sets, like I'd wander through Toys R Us or whatever and look at the sets, and probably 7 or 8 years, I didn't actually buy Lego sets. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, I ran into Chris and other like-minded people on the internet. I got onto Lugnet, but like Dana said, here are my people, you know.
More of us.
And at the time, my little brother was kind of getting to be junior high age, and he was never the Lego fan that I am. Mm-hmm. And he was drifting away from Lego and toys and things. And so at one point, I just went home and just said, you know, I think I'm just going to take the Lego. Like, we had a collective Lego collection. Mm-hmm. Said, I'm just going to take this with me. And just packed it into a box and shipped it back to myself. I lived in Seattle at the time. And my brother was cool with it. At that time, running into Lugnet and getting my collection back, from there on, it was full speed back into the hobby again. And the internet has really allowed a lot of people to meet in communities mm-hmm. and, you know, share all of this. So it's been great.
I definitely had a dark age, and I had this set as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the Black Seas Barracuda, and I had a lot of other really cool classic pirates and stuff. Sold it all to a consignment shop. And I cry just saying that statement.
Yeah, it hurt. It hurts the heart.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Pour one out.
Okay,
yeah.
We're done.
Yeah, but some one by ones to pour out.
That's what we would do. Definitely. What do you think it is about Lego that keeps people going, keeps adults coming back?
For me, growing up, I always wanted to build a fleet of spaceships. Now I have the pieces to do so and do it well. And one of the things about space for us is that there was no storyline provided, so we got to create the storyline and create what we wanted to create. Even with sets with storylines and all this kind of stuff, it's the raw material to build your imagination physically with your hands. Continue to do that, build some of those dream sets you wanted to build as a kid, get to do that as an adult. So that's what, I mean, a lot of times when I sit down, I think, what do I want this spaceship to do? And the little 13-year-old rolling around in size, make it with a big cannon on the front. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And do it. I mean, the thing is now you build your skill and your resources enough up to actually accomplish that thing that you wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So.
I work in IT. I have for most of my adult life. But I went to school for graphic design and photography. So I have a very, you know, conflicting, you know, what my brain wants to do on its spare time versus what I have to do for a living. Mm-hmm. So I find that, do talk to other AFOLs, and I've gotten this feedback from them, that it is a way for them to flex those creative muscles that they don't get to do in their day-to-day or, you know, their regular life. They're dealing with the house, the chores, the kids, the this, the that, going to school or whatever it might be. That to stop, whether it's an official set that they just want to sit and build, or they just want to take that official set, break it down from the pieces because they want to build for those pieces. Mm-hmm. It's a way for them to disconnect from their day to day and, let's face it, go back to when time was good in their mind. Mm-hmm. I was a kid and I was sitting on the floor digging through the shag carpet to find that one by one with the clip on it that I needed to put on the set. We go back to that comfort zone of what makes us feel happy.
Yeah.
And I think Lego is one of those great places for everybody.
Lego in general hits that sweet spot of being still technical, but also artistic. Mm-hmm. It's this great in between, and I think that's why a lot of Lego fans are intelligent people who have technical backgrounds and stuff, because it appeals to both sides of your brain. It can do all. It can be all.
One of the nice quotes I heard recently from one of our associates that we deal with on a regular basis, he referred to his Lego collection as his palette or his painting. The big debate of, do you sort by part or do you sort by color? One of the reasons that I sort by color first is because I have bins of specific colors, because when I go to build something, I'm going to be grabbing the blues and the orange and the blacks, because what I'm building has to have those colors together. Mm-hmm. So I'm using those three colors in the palette for whatever I'm doing. It speaks to the hobby of creating something. You're not just following the instructions all the time. Even, yeah. There's nothing wrong with following the instructions. A lot of fun can be had just by following the instructions for a set. But if you've got a creative side and you've got this notion of, I want to design, I want to build something, mm-hmm. this is where it's at.
It's like Dana was saying, that it's a great creative outlet. I'm a graphic designer, and I technically have a creative job. I work for a corporation, so the creativity is in a very small box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you work for a corporation, it's like, I make brochures and our website and stuff, but you have to use the corporate color and the corporate font, and everything is very rigid. And so this, for me, is I come home and I can do anything I want and make anything I want. That's the creative outlet, is that I can do anything mm-hmm. with it. So after having my creativity kept in these very small guidelines at work, this is the freedom to create whatever comes out of my imagination. Also, like you said earlier, it appeals to both artistic and technical minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lego can span all of that, and that's really what's great about it, because people that I know through the hobby, a lot of the guys we know are engineers, but then there's also plenty who are also artists or, you know, that sort of thing.
And walks of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Demographics all across the board.
I mean, I'm a kids pastor. And one of the things for me is that I don't have a lot of sense of finality and accomplishment every week, because the process continues on. So when I can sit down and build something or create something and have it finished, and all, that's something that actually appeals to me about it, is I can create something with my creativity and then it's done and finished and can show. The process gets finished, and that's very calming.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys mentioned the Lego Ambassador program. For mm-hmm. anyone who might be watching or listening that does not know, could you explain what the Lego Ambassador program is?
The Lego Ambassador program, or network, or the LAN, as they refer to it, is, you know, a collection of Lego user groups. A group will come together, and they're not considered official. Just because you get a bunch of guys together, or guys and gals and kids together, to say, hey, we're going to create a user group, you start out that way. And then, or you can go online and find one. Hopefully there's one in your area. They're spread out. You know, usually they might be close to a dense population location like Atlanta, but, you know, we're up in the North Atlanta, and they're, you know, there's still the whole state of Georgia that could still have multiple other lugs, but mm-hmm. it's weird how it all comes together. Sidebar for a second, everybody Lego is different. Some people like to Lego by themselves, and some people enjoy getting together with others to do a big display, which I think is probably one of my favorite things to do, is when we do a big collaborative display. Usually a Lego group will meet once a month, once a quarter, depends, you know, however they want to do it. Now we've been actually doing them once a month because we're doing them online. Advantage of having an RLUG, a recognized Lego user group by the Lego group, is that you then get some perks from Lego directly. Twice a year, we get 4 or 5 giant boxes full of sets. We used to just get loose brick sometimes. We'd have like probably a tote of blue 2x4 bricks, or green or red, for the lug to do things with, whether it's to build challenges within the lug, for them to do a display, whatever they're going to do. We use them for competition prizes. Lego's giving us Lego to give to fans of Lego.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
As the lug, we get together and we go out to places and we'll do a big town layout, trains going around it, or a moon base in the library or something like that. And helping the library to gain funds, or they give us a little bit for us to turn around and put back into the group to, you know, we're technically nonprofit, but we still have you know, web fees or meeting place fees and stuff like that. So that comes into play. We also get to do once a year what's called bulk lug, which we get to, as a group, order directly from, we can talk about it now, we just can't talk about the prices. We can order directly from LEGO large volume of LEGO elements at a discount price. So that's another advantage of being in a lug. And then I think the biggest advantage of being in a lug is the camaraderie, the energy creating energy. I think is the biggest thing. During COVID, we've been doing meetings once a month online. We've been doing lug challenges to build something. All it takes is for one of these jokers to show me something that they're doing, and I'm like, oh, I gotta build this now. Or you see that somebody else has built something, and you're like, oh, now I gotta build something.
Peer pressure.
It is. It's positive peer pressure.
It's not.
It is encouraging you to build something. Yeah. It's a great place to get immediate feedback on something you've built, advice on how to do something, praise for something that you did that they thought, oh, that I didn't think about doing that. That's awesome. Constructive criticism, positive feedback. It creates a little family. We have our lug that I consider all of them part of my extended family.
And we don't really go outside anyway. So that's
such a pasty white thing.
I know certain YouTubers who mentioned that they're part of the LEGO Ambassador Program. They get sets early, but there's strings attached. They have to then make a video of it and talk about it, and it has to be posted by a certain time, but it can't be early either.
Right.
Do you guys, are there strings attached with what you guys do? Is it different for if you have a media channel? Are there different versions of the LAN program?
The media groups are definitely under a much more stricter microscope, what they can and can't do. We do have to follow some of those same lines. There is a leak policy. So, you know, if we get information, we're not supposed to let that out early. If someone in our group is trying to post things, we tell them they can't. We fall under that. But as far as getting sets early to review and do all that, we don't get that.
Are you allowed to sell the sets?
Yep.
Okay, I figured that was part of the agreement, that you're not allowed to.
It used to be we would get polybags, giant polybags, that if you know, you cracked open 10 of these sets and they dumped them all into a tub, or they took half the bags given to one lug and another half of the bags to another one. So you'd get just
half of sets,
or
with three copies of half a set.
Three copies of half a set, or one bag out of 20 or something.
Okay.
So that's what they used to do. And then I would say probably about 2 years ago, instead of getting a box of those, I started getting boxes of sets. There'd be like 20 copies of a little 3-in-1 car, or there'd be a Lego Movie 2 castle or something like that. And so we'll use those as door prizes or competition prizes for what we're doing. And then the other aspect is when we get back to being able to do in-person meetings again, I've got a couple of big sets that we're going to just do part outs and farm out all the parts and, you know, raffle the minifigures off or something like that. Originally, when the sets would come in, there was a set that I really didn't need, and it was like a 3-in-1 creator. And I tried to take it to the Lego store to see if I can exchange it. It was European barcodes, so they didn't come up in the U.S. point of sale system, so I couldn't exchange it. Now, recently, there will be a big red sticker on the box, not for sale.
But still, it sounds like it's a very positive thing.
Oh,
suggested.
Absolutely. Even if there's not a lug in your area, I would even suggest starting your own. I gave advice and passed on information to guys who are starting up a lug in South Carolina, and they just got recognized at the end of last year. You know, hit me up on Zoom or ask me questions like, hey, how can you help us along with this? And so there are other people out there who will help you get going if you want to start your own lug, and I can't not recommend it enough to do that kind of thing.
Going back to Classic Space, your opinion on the earmark sets, obviously like Galaxy Explorer, but what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite something? We'll start with you, Mark.
For me, it's this one right here.
Really?
Yeah, because when I was a kid, this was, at the time, the Galaxy Commander. This was the biggest spaceship that LEGO had made up to that time, which was, what, 86, wasn't it? I mean, you look at it, it's really, to a kid, this is really impressive.
Yeah.
You know, this was a great set because, as Chris is demonstrating, you could pull the front spaceship off of the rear.
Maybe.
Unless it's might be stuck together. There it goes.
It's a little
you could there. Separate it so you had this part of the spaceship that could fly off. The rear part of the spaceship had a laboratory thing in it. Not only was it a big, impressive, cool-looking spaceship, but it also had a lot of playable features. It came with the landing plate, which was very cool, and a couple of little rover things that went with it, so you could refuel your spaceship while you're playing with it, and the laboratory thing would slide out of the back like this. It opened up and had like a little computer bay thing in there, and your astronauts could do things. That was the big set from my youth as far as the classic space.
And you liked the changeover from the original color palette to the blue and white.
You know, they're all sort of evolutions, because the fondness that I have for classic space really goes to this color palette,
okay.
the trans yellow. The color palettes through the original run of classic space evolved a bit, because it started with this. And around 1980, they started to introduce the trans blue with white and black. A couple of years later, they came out with sets that had gray with trans green window parts on it. I think they did that to freshen up the sets from one year into the next, so they weren't always the same color. But all of those color schemes are kind of nostalgic.
When you were a kid, you're like, okay, these are the science guys, and these are the whatever. You know, you came up with your own thing.
Blacktron was the bad guys.
Those guys.
Yeah. Well, how about you, Chris? What was your pinnacle set?
Mobile rocket transport, which I'm a big spaceship guy, and it's weird that I like the ground vehicle. In this color scheme, the original color scheme, it has this big, huge rocket on the top of it. Not a missile, not a ICBM at all, but it also had articulation in the wheels, so it would go over rocks, had the yellow guys, which we refer as naked spacemen, because look at there.
Is that yellow?
They're yellow, and that must be translucent. But anyway, but it was that set. It was big. You could lift that rocket off and set it down, drive away from it, do whatever that missile rocket would do. And I reacquired it a few years back, and it sits proudly on my shelf. And there were just many times that I explored the couch as an asteroid or the bed as a planet with that vehicle, doing all sorts of things, and it was fabulous.
How about you, Dana?
I had those 9 sets that when I was a kid. There was 2 that always stuck out. The Uranium Search Vehicle with the articulated wheels, little fat rubber tires. I wish they would bring those back. And then the Gamma 5 laser craft. So the little spaceship and little land vehicle. And those were ones that I had. So they stick out in my mind as sets that will always be, you know, in my staple of sets that I've always will love. But the funny thing is that outside of the Galaxy Explorer, which is the Holy Grail, the Alpha 1 rocket base is another Holy Grail. Once you get past that and the Galaxy Commander and stuff like that, some of the bigger ones and the lights and sounds, try to forget those sometimes. I would say after that, then the next big Holy Grail is the 6990 Futron monorail. While it is Futron, everybody wants to call it classic, even though technically those guys have got visors on. The last year of classic space and Futron, the color schemes are almost identical. If they had slapped classic space figures on the Futron sets, they would fit right in.
Yeah.
If they had, you know, the last year classic space, if they had thrown Futron figures on those sets, you wouldn't notice the difference. I mean, they merged together. Now, if you want to go on to other years, each one of those also has, it's got to have 2 as well.
That was my next question. What was your guys' opinion as space continued? You had Ice Planet, you had Space Police 2, you had Space Police 3. Were there any major missteps for you guys? We talked about our favorites. I mean, we even went into the ones, what was the one with the bug aliens.
Insectoids. That is what was about to come out of my mouth.
UFO and Mars missions and life on Mars. It gets a little wonky in that area.
For you guys, what was the biggest misstep? Or were there any?
One of the things that we talk about sometimes is the classic Blacktron figures. The original Blacktron figures were these guys that their whole suit is black, except for the printing on their torso that looks like this awesome kind of
Darth Vader-y,
tactical spacesuit-y kind of thing. And then Blacktron 2 came out, and the spaceships in Blacktron 2 are great and really interesting. And the figures have this big stupid B on their chest. And the visors became trans neon green, and you can see the smiling face behind it.
It's not as menacing.
I'm a bad guy.
Exactly. It was like, these guys were bad guys. Yeah. Electron 2 was like a toothpaste commercial. It was like... It was like they're the nice bad guys or something. Like, it just didn't. It lost the mystique of having this.
It's like they all went to Miami and went and got like airbrushed T-shirts. That's what happened. And let's put a B on it, and they did. So.
But the spaceships from Blacktron 2 are awesome. They're all really cool, and they have the modularity that they all fit with all the other ones. So there's no complaints about the actual sets in Blacktron 2. It's just the figures look goofy to me.
Having a modular feature in a set just screams space to us. There are specific parts. Oh, that's a classic space part. We know that that's a classic space part. But another thing is that there's that having it be able to be modular is another classic part of it. And then he's talking about with the Blacktron 2 that the pods from all the Blacktron 2s fit on all the other ships, which was a great thing. Not only did you have modularity, you could combine it with other things without having to take it apart and build your own thing. So there is that. One of the things that I think that LEGO failed or dropped the ball on too soon, the second space monorail, there was only 5 sets in the whole series. I think other than the monorail, they weren't available anywhere but US. And again, each of the cockpit sections for all the ships were interchangeable. This great play feature that they had a great thing to do with. The figures looked fantastic. The printed torsos look great. And then they just, it died.
There's a couple of classic space sets that have the light and sound in it. And we all know they were pretty much turkeys. And LEGO knew they were turkeys. So what do they do when insectoids come on? Let's put light and sound in it. And it was terrible because you basically pay $10 for this light and sound thing with a few really terrible pieces on it. And it was a terrible set. And you know, the figs were wonky and weird. For us old guys, shooters and play features and stuff, there are no shooters or play features on this. The only play feature is that you can take it apart and rebuild it. So construction is the play feature in it, and that's appealing to us. And so those gimmicks and stuff, which LEGO keeps trying to recycle, in our old guys' opinions, they're just a waste. They're a waste of plastic. They're bucket filler. You just throw it in a drawer. You never use it. So those are the missteps I see.
Were you guys the type of kids that kept your sets together or took them all apart and rebuild them, combine them together? What did you guys do?
The point of it was to get it, build it, and then build what was on the back of the box or whatever you wanted to build, because the backs of the box told you other ways to build the set. It was totally take it apart and rebuild it. These were simple enough to rebuild it if you kept the instructions, but it was also, the point was, yeah, here's a suggestion, now go build some more, and we were building our own things. So yeah, that was me. I had none of my originals in the shape they came in.
It was a little bit of both, and I'm not sure where in my timeline that I got back into making sure that an original set stayed an original set.
It's when we could afford to have shells.
I think that's probably the case. But when I was a kid, even though I would take every, you know, the 8 or 9 sets I had, because I didn't have a lot in that aspect, and they were mostly smaller to mid-sized ships or vehicles, so I didn't have a large palette. While I did take them apart to build other things, for whatever reason, they would still get all gravitated back to making sure I could still build them again. So there was a little bit of both. Sometimes we do lug challenges where I say, okay, take that set, build something with it other than that set. Because we've gotten into this habit of, oh, I'm going to go to Bricks and Pieces or BrickLink, and I'm going to get this piece, because that's what I need to build what I want to build. Now, let's go back to when we were kids. We're constrained to the box of sets we have in front of us.
I was definitely not a displayer. All of my stuff got taken apart, built into other spaceships, other things. There were a few of the smaller spaceships that I could rebuild from memory. These little things were simple enough that it was pretty easy to remember how to rebuild that from memory, but I would play with the set as it was for a while. And inevitably, I would disassemble it and make my own stuff out of the parts, because that's what LEGO is for me. It's all about taking the parts, making your own stuff, building, combining all of your pieces to make a bigger spaceship.
Being huge space fans and classic space and being able to almost tell the set number by sight, what was your guys' reaction? Take us back to when LEGO Movie first came out and you first saw this. What was your reaction? What was your thought?
Well, I will say my first reaction to the LEGO Movie that I saw was the Benny the Spaceman going, hello, in the commercial, right? Which was just hilarious in itself, especially when you found out it's Chris Day doing the voice, and he's hilarious.
He's got the cracked helmet.
When I saw that the emblem had been scrubbed off and the helmet was cracked,
yeah,
I'm like, wait a minute. These guys know more than just LEGO or bricks you get. These guys played with those, because all of the pre-1981 or so figures like this had the thin chin strap, and they would break. And the all of our spacemen, the gold would rub off and all that kind of stuff. This means something, right? I'm 40-something years old, and this movie's coming out, and somebody knows something about the LEGO when I was young.
You could see that the details were being put into the movie.
They knew more than just...
They were paying enough attention to put in the spaceman with the cracked chin and the rubbed-off symbol.
Oh, yeah.
That told you the people making it had a level of care for what they were doing to put those details in the movie that doesn't matter to anybody but us old guys pick up on it. Like, that's tapping into the brain of the parents who are going to see the movie with their kids. When some of the jokes and references and things are aimed as much as the parents as they are the kids, that means everybody can enjoy this movie, which is awesome.
You know? Yeah, right. And so my son being the same age as the kid in the movie, you know, when we went to see it, me then getting to share a little more about, this is the Lego I grew up with and this is the Lego you have now. And when that set comes out, there's a little bit of a conjoining of both of them. And honestly, when I saw that set come out, I'm like, yay, I get to build another. I've got one built on the shelf, but I got another one that's been turned into other stuff, or the parts have been bought to build other things, because then we have the raw materials to build new versions of those things that we had as a kid. So.
And to have this homage to a set from 1978.
Heck yeah.
This direct homage. Must have blown your mind
when you first saw
the set. It was the catalyst to get back into Lego for me, because here is the first Lego set that I have seen since I was a kid that is classic space.
Yes.
While it is not truly classic, it has got blue and gray and trans yellow. That is classic space.
Yes. Yeah.
And well, so and that is what started
the joy that Benny has when he gets to build the spaceship.
That's huge.
I can build a spaceship. But that was us. That was like, I can build a spaceship. You know,
we had that when he finally got to do it. We're like, oh, finally! Thank you.
It's almost kind of like poking fun at ourselves, because the reality is, anytime I took, whether it was a car set or a house, it became a spaceship.
Yeah,
So for him to be obsessed with wanting to build a spaceship, it was making the nod to us guys and gals of that age who we were into classic space sets. Yeah, we wanted to build a spaceship. Everything became a spaceship. No matter what you gave us, it became a spaceship.
Do you think in general that the classic space guys and gals are more passionate than the classic castle? Do you think that's why they chose Benny to be a classic spaceman rather than a classic knight?
I will use this quick example. The recent Lego VIP scheme of creating these little coins for people to use their VIP points, they did a castle coin, they did a pirate coin, they sold out, but it took them like a week or so. The classic space coins were gone in less than 12 hours. So while, yes, the classic castle guys, and we have a fond friend of ours who's a big castle fan that we give all sorts of grief to. All I got to do is mention Nexo Knights, and he's probably twitching somewhere. Which, by the way, is castle and space together. They are very passionate castle fans out there, but I would say that the space guys are a little more hardcore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd say we're a lot more hardcore.
And I also know this. The guys who made the Lego movie, they were space fans growing up. And initially, there's going to be a whole lot more space in the movie. You know,
the second movie was supposed to be a space, whole space theme, and then they...
Not.
Yeah, I know.
Basically like 3 seconds, but anyway, so those were, I mean, that's why he knew about the chin strap cracking and the thing. So that amount of passion was poured into that one character of Benny, so he got it, and that was his. And had he been growing up a castle fan, he would have probably poured more than that, but that's one of the impetuses for him to do it, is because that was his, that was what he played with as a kid.
So we've seen recently that they gave a little nod to pirates. They had that Creator 3-in-1 large pirate ship, and then they had the Barracuda Bay. Mm-hmm. And then this previous year, they had another little nod to Castle.
Blacksmith shop.
They had the blacksmith shop, and the rumor is there's going to be a 3-in-1 castle coming out as well. Do you guys feel like, okay, this year or next year, it's going to be space? They're going to do the same thing. There's going to be a huge D2C classic-style space in a very modern style. And then there might be a Creator 3-in-1, and then that's it.
From your mouth to Lego's ears. Please, no.
Yeah, right?
Do you guys think they're going to follow that pattern to pick a classic theme that they know there's a lot of A-falls for?
We've had this discussion.
Pick one or two large sets.
Here we go.
should we break first?
We'll just say...
Should we go get a drink?
You know, the big fan vote, yeah, get there. They had the big fan vote over the themes and everything, and it was, you know, the Please Don't Let Barnacle Win was the big push, and then all the classic folks were like, yeah, let's just get one of our classic themes in.
Yeah.
But I would say us space fans were like, hey, hello, we have not gotten any, except for just a couple small sets, and we did get that nod, but that's been a while. Is we want to see the 18 plus treatment on this. We hope to get it. Will we get it? I don't know.
We had Galaxy Squad, which was the last foray into space, which was killed too soon. It was close. It had some problems. The colors, I know. Because Star Wars is that licensed theme, we get spaceships that way. It's the same reason that, you know, Ninjago gives us the ninja and castle feel type thing, or we don't see those types of things.
Or that Nexonites.
Or the Nexonites thing. I think LEGO has a challenge to give us space, and I think that the loophole they've been using has been the 3-in-1 recently, because we got that rover, and then we got the little drone, and then it goes the little space miner thing. And we've been getting classic space nods and the collectible minifigures since Series 1.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been getting the feelers, but we haven't been getting our due dessert.
We want this, yeah. You know, redone.
We hope that they do exactly what you just laid out, that we've been seeing this being led down the primrose path, so hopefully space will be the next.
Be the next one this year or next year.
Yeah.
My kid likes sci-fi, but Star Wars kind of fills that niche. And Star Wars was it. There was not Lego Star Wars, but this kind of was. This was, space was more in the kid zeitgeist in the days, and so these were much more popular than a space theme. It would be day for kids. Because if they do an adult set, let's go. Let's have at it. Okay. You know, the adult fans will collect this.
I personally don't see any of the classic ones coming back as a complete theme.
No.
As a, you know, 7-8 set theme anymore. Yeah. Watch our themes vodcast if you want to know why I think that. I think the same treatment for space. It'll be one or two big sets. Mm. I think that's a very real possibility. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to just go give LEGO props, though. The three sets that we've gotten in the 3-in-1 series that are space themed, the rover, that little drone, and then this little mining mech, are in those 3-in-1 sets. And, you know, those are, build this really cool model, but please build other things. Yeah. And that's the spirit here.
Yeah.
So if LEGO just keeps on throwing out really good 3-in-1 sets, then I'm really excited by that. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see the big celebration, we realized space was a big deal, so here's the space and build it. That would be great.
That poll you mentioned earlier, when is the results coming out? Do you know?
People are asking, hey, whatever happened to that? Because they gave us this choice to vote for the top four or whatever it was, but we have not heard the results.
They didn't put a date. There's no date.
Well, it ended, but then there was no results revealed. Okay.
And if you read the small print, they're like, we want to see what your votes are, but it doesn't matter. We're going to do what we want. It's literally what it says. Yeah. They threw a bone at Castle because they didn't make it in the top four or top three, so they made it top four.
Right.
And which is like, oh, so that the theory is, oh, they wanted Castle all along, and all the Bionicle fans messed that up. So they do that.
We love Bionicle. We love Bionicle.
They have plenty. We have none.
The Atlanta Brick Co. love Bionicle.
It almost seems like they were like, that was a marketing nightmare. Let's just forget it. And they, LEGO really hasn't said much about it. So.
In our Castle podcast, we mentioned not even trying to veil it at all, trying to be a feeler for. It's a poll, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a poll, but it's also to see, okay, what do the AFALs want? What is the most popular? And their kind of sneaky way of dividing Castle into so many sub-themes. Space got that treatment, too, but I think Castle got it worse.
The problem is, while Castle does have its sub-themes because of the factions, whether it's, you know, which Castle, I couldn't tell you. Tells you how much I don't know about Castle.
The thing with the horses.
there's a wolf, there's a bird, there's a lion. They did get segregated up, but then the thing is that classic space was 10 years, but M-tron was a year.
Yeah.
Blacktron was a year.
Yeah.
Blacktron 2, you know. So while space also had that same thing that was going on with Castle, I actually took and I lined up everything together. You know, all the space factions into one number, all the Castle factions into one number. Castle still was up there. But space was still space would have actually been number one. It again still gets into marketing, the LEGO marketing group, the evil of the corporation, because they're the ones that are messing everything up for us. They come up and they decide they're going to do something, and we live with it. So.
Well, at least they were transparent in the beginning and saying, this really means nothing.
Right.
We do whatever we want.
This is meaningless, but please participate.
Yeah.
And we did.
Well, at least our voices have been heard. Mm-hmm. At least we can say that much.
They've been recorded.
And there is a strong Bionicle following still out there.
That is, I think, surprised a lot of people. I think that surprised a lot of people is that Bionicle got such a huge following. And that may have been why they put that clause in there. Because in our Bionicle podcast, if we're going to do one set, one huge set that represents 50 years of LEGO or 60 years of LEGO, are we going to pick Bionicle?
Yeah.
It's been around 10 years.
Yeah. And it's not system.
And it's not system. What's going to, even though Bionicle is popular and awesome in its own sense, does it represent Lego?
Right.
That was another debate. So even the Bionicle people have to kind of sit back and think about.
There was a recent competition to submit a Lego idea set for a space theme set. Out of this World was what they classified it as. The first Forerunner set that was shown on there was this little kid with a cardboard box in his bedroom playing space, and it was the one that won. This is the second time they've done this competition. The first time was they did again, everybody could submit some sort of space type thing, ship, whatever they're gonna do, rover, and it was a kid in a little rocket ship outside of a store that...
Yeah, I remember that one.
So that was supposed to be a space set. It looks more like a city set. Now we're supposed to get another space set. It looks like a city set again. So, while and no disrespect to the design, because the set, cool. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's going to win.
Yeah.
Because it was going to hit all the buttons for any Lego fan, regardless of whether they were a space fan or not. Because they said, out of this world, what's your imagination going to revolve around?
They kept it purposely very vague.
Very vague. Even though it was supposed to be a space set.
If you're right, and Lego does not want to pull the trigger on a full space set, why do you think that is?
I don't think Lego's not wanting to pull the trigger on a full space set. It just wound up being that somebody said, well, I could just build a spaceship, but I think this spin will get more people's votes versus a straight space type set.
Yeah, it was more appealing to a more broader audience, and I get that.
Where do you see the future of space, Lego space? Do you see a future for Lego space?
3-in-1?
3-in-1 is doing it, and it's selling pretty well. I think Lego's always going to be Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars changed the game for space fans.
Yeah.
And even us early on getting back in, we wanted gray slopey pieces to build spaceships and we didn't have them in great quantities, and then Star Wars came out and then we did. And especially in those early days, Lucas had some pull to say, look, if you're going to do things in outer space, it's Star Wars or don't.
Yeah.
And that was Lego's kind of theme for a while. They didn't want to water down that. They had pressure from Lucas. Now Lego is so identified with Star Wars, I think Lego has a little more leeway. It's just whether or not they think it would sell and whether it would do well. It would be great if some new space genre captured the imagination of kids, so space became the thing. But these were unlicensed, and that's why Lego made them and everything. Nowadays, when a space story comes out, then you buy the license and make the sense. I get that. I mean, Lego's doing a great job with NASA. The Discovery Shuttle is great.
Discovery Shuttle, so good.
But it's still not that imagination, that open-ended play of spaceships and stuff that we grew up with. So I don't know. I think maybe the 3-in-1 is the way Lego would go with that. And like I said, I'm okay with that. But then again, Lego might come up with another Galaxy Squad or another return to a version of this. Since they've remade the space figures, they could do it. It's just whether they see the market for it. And there's a lot of us old fans around, but there's not as many as there are kids to buy sets. So
we still aren't their demographic, even though they are starting to design 18-plus sets. We still aren't the majority.
Yeah, I would hope that they would show space the same love with the 3-in-1 creator as well as the larger Barracuda base set. Like Danny was saying, that coin sold out in a very short amount of time, which shows there's a lot of people who still love space. They still love the planet swoosh thing means a lot to a lot of people. And I hope Lego recognizes that.
Do you think some of it has to do with there's not a whole lot of space books and movies and stuff coming out, that it's very much a causality of the general zeitgeist of what's popular right now? We have Lord of the Rings, we have this, so that's kind of like Castle. And I'm trying to think, like, the next Marvel movie, the Immortals or whatever that
Eternals.
One is. The Eternals looks very space opera-y. I can't think of anything else that's really come out recently that's very spacey besides Star Wars.
But, the thing is, Lego, if they throw the Eternal stuff out, you then don't want another line beside it that would water down that market. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, can I buy the Eternals, the pizza wedge spaceship that they have, or this little spaceship? Well, I might. Kids will vote either way and split that money instead of throwing it all on the pizza spaceship.
And we live in a different world today than we did 40 years ago, where if there wasn't a TV show attached to this, it didn't matter. We got blocks to build with and ships to build with. Today, everything's got to be tied into something for it to be successful, or for someone to say, oh, we have an audience already lined up to buy this, and so that's why they're going to make it.
And you brought up an interesting point. Maybe Star Wars is a hard and fast reason why we're not getting any space, because we already have spaceships.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, somebody's going to buy the Brazier Crest at a $150 set or $200 set versus something that they've never seen before, but it looks cool because it's not tied to something. Yeah.
That's where the high-end set might work out, is it doesn't really compete with the mass market, you know, theme-connected sets. It's a more of a special edition adult targeted thing. That's not going to compete with their Star Wars kids market. It's going to be for us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're hoping for, is that maybe Lego might throw us a bone.
Let's talk about that bone. They went with a blacksmith's workshop for the 18 plus, very specific thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have gone as a castle, a tavern, or whatever, but they decided to do a blacksmith's workshop. If they did do an 18 plus, what would you want it to be? A base or a spaceship?
Yes.
Or both. And what color?
We have both.
What color palette?
Oh, the color palette is...
You got to go there.
It's got to go there. It's got to go. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, granted, it's going to be light bluish gray or medium stone gray, however you want to talk about it. But we're going to be blue and we're going to have trans yellow. That's for sure. We can pass on the fact that the gray is the wrong color, but that's okay, as long as it's light gray. As far as being a base or a ship or something with wheels, I think if they're going to do it the justice they need to do it, it's got to have some combination of a base landing platform with a ship along with it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So a smaller ship that's super detailed.
Right.
With tons of pieces, tons of small little pieces, but also a base and possibly some transformative modular
Sure. I mean, if you think about it, the original 497, the Galaxy Explorer, had the spaceship with the landing plate with a little
outhouse.
It was a little radar station. Radar station thing that sat next to the landing plate, but that would be this for me. That would be the sweet spot. Would be the mostly a spaceship with a little bit of ground stuff to go with it. Would be cool. If it was a 3-in-1, then it would be great if you got the spaceship that you could rebuild into a base that kind of thing.
And as you were saying that, I was thinking, that would probably make more sense if they made the creator one, the one that's geared to a wider audience, probably make that the spaceship and then have two other options. And then the 18-plus one would be like a super detailed base or something with wheels. That would probably make more sense.
I would tend to think that the 3-in-1 would be the, hey, you can do this with wheels or with wings.
Okay.
That I really think would be the either or, because even the rover that they did that is the 3-in-1, it does give you options to do a ship or the original
ship or a base or
is all three. But again, back to the bigger one, something a detailed ship with some ancillary ground effects to go with it to so that you can display it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even a translucent stand that you can mount it on or something.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool to build a nice base plate, have a reminiscent of the cratered base plate that you build. That would be great. And then have your nice big base on there, a vehicle and a ship that interact. They have something that they connect, like a cargo, then the ship brings, the thing transports into the base, and then you use it in the base.
Yeah.
All that kind of modularity would be amazing. And the play feature is in the construction, not some shooter somewhere. Then have that, if that's the 18 plus set, nice and detailed, nice and smooth, very retro, but throwback to this era will be amazing.
Not true neoclassic, but somewhere in between classic and neoclassic.
The way they did with the blacksmiths.
Yeah.
Have that amount of love in detail, in like quarters for the crew and you know, a galley and things like that would be amazing in that kind of treatment. For this, but yeah, I think you would need rover, you would need spaceship and base to really kind of capture that whole classic space feel in one set.
So for a classic castle, there's several factions that are kind of equally loved in the castle. Definitely Black Falcons is up there as one of the favorites. So it was kind of a no-brainer. If they had to pick one, they made the new Black Falcons in the blacksmiths. If they did a classic space, would you guys be disappointed if they did this instead for the 18 plus? No, we need our classic spaceman in this color palette.
The only
why not both?
Give us some bad guys. Just put in the bad guys. I think because I think most of the classic fans would agree that we need this color scheme. The figures, though, I would love for them to give us red classic space figures because that's the only one we haven't gotten out of recent years. I am in love with the classic space logo, but I would be slightly okay with them making it a little more modern. Because I do love the new Krayter 3-in-1 classic space figure. He's got the classic logo on him. They've done other space sets. There was the Space Miner, who actually had a classic space logo with a drill for the spaceship. If they keep that feel to it and update it a little bit, I'm fine with that. That being said, I would be fine if they just gave us one of each color of the minifigure and put them in that set.
And by the way, our set that we made has the Sheriff's logo, because their mom works like Space Police. It's, mm-hmm. it's got the star, and it's got the classic space swoosh around it. So
nice.
That was important for us to put in there.
Yeah. Was that a sticker that you made?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Chris sketched it out, and then I rendered it in Illustrator and made it a part of the design for the torso of the,
cool.
the astronaut.
Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely don't make a huge spaceship that's classic Blacktron. Don't do a black.
I wouldn't kick it out of bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't kick it to the curb, but if we're going to go like we're doing, where we're hitting the iconic, it would have to be that.
Have to be that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's not to put any shade on Blacktron or Futron or Unitron or Space Police. I have a love for all of them.
Yeah.
But when it all comes back to it, if we're going to pay homage to the original, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Sure.
And you guys have your own show that you regularly do. Let's hear a plug.
It is Old Gray Bricks. We do a live stream on Mondays. Starting this week, this is going to be actually moved to 7 Eastern. And we do one on Thursday, 7 Eastern. And it's a lot of us old guys and some younger fans, too, just talking about. Mondays is just talking.
Which is called Messy Monday.
Messy Monday. And then on Thursday, it's Thursday Night Live. And we usually have a topic. And we have folks. We have a lot of Canadians. But that's okay.
That's okay.
It's an international audience.
Yes. Bi-national.
How do people find you or log in to listen?
YouTube, /C/Fazoom. You can look up Fazoom.
Actually, you can just Google Old Gray Bricks.
Old Gray Bricks, G-R-A-Y. That's spelling. On YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, we've got enough videos up there that I think YouTube algorithm will find Old Gray Bricks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll put a link in our description in this one as well.
That'd be great, yeah.
What else do you guys have going on? Are you guys going to submit anything for LEGO Ideas?
In the last competition, both Chris and I did put something in for the little LEGO Ideas competition.
We didn't win.
Neither one of us were on the list.
We didn't win.
But yeah.
There's moments where maybe I'll do that and everything, but honestly, I love to build. So I go, hey, this is cool. This is what I do for fun, or my son and I do. And it's also just to share with friends and go, hey, do you think this is cool? And they, yeah, that's cool. And that's just the motivation for me
and
the brick. So. Yeah.
And if we can ever get back to doing shows again, that'll also get us back into building bigger things, too.
Absolutely. We'll see you in the store again, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
We are available as an audio podcast if you want to listen to us. Share, subscribe if you're not already, and we'll bring you more content like this. Maybe we'll have you guys back on the show. I would love to talk about other space things and other things in general.
Sure. We are a plethora of Legos.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, guys.